the voice of truth. That's what I'm going to be teaching on tonight. And I hope you learn to listen to the voice of truth and quit listening to the lies of the enemy. Father God, I speak a special blessing over this word tonight. We need to get this done into our spirit. We need to walk tall, speak the truth, live the truth, just as your son Jesus did. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. How do our lives become transformed? God spoke two things to me. There is no compassion anywhere. And the people are working with formulas, and I am working with faith. You know, when somebody sends you a prayer and says, I want you to pray it this way. Yeah, they have a formula how they want you to pray. Maybe that's not going to work. Why don't we just try praying in the spirit, praying God's will be done. We know how to bind and cast, right? And, you know, why do we have to have a prayer on a piece of paper before our faith? Now, I'm not saying you don't do this, but why do we have to have that? Why can't we just rely on God and the Holy Spirit to show us how to pray? Amen. I don't know who made up that prayer that's on that piece of paper. I don't. And how do I know it came from the Spirit of God? How do I know if it didn't come? I don't know why I'm saying this. I'm going to finish this. How do I know it didn't come by the flesh of man? You know, I don't know why God just wants you to think about that. All right. When Brother Brett taught on, was it the mind you taught on? God gave you that prayer, right? So that was a Holy Spirit inspired prayer that you could pray. Now I know that. How many of you, that somebody's given you a prayer on a piece of paper and said, pray this for me. And when you looked at it and tried to do it, it just did not sit right in your spirit. There was just something not right about it. You know, sometimes what we think we need to be praying for ourselves is not really what we need to be praying. And when people say, you pray this over me, well, we have to make sure it's spirit-led or we're going to be praying curses over a person. It might not, the prayer might not even be what that person needs prayed over them. That would, God said that, so you just go ahead and take that and do with it what you want to with it. Amen. In the Old Testament, God speaks to the Israelites rather harshly and warns them of some heavy things to come. In Hosea 4:1, he says, hear the word of the Lord, for the Lord hath a controversy, a contention with the inhabitants of the land. Because there is no truth, nor mercy, which is love, nor knowledge of God in the land. America has come to that state, right? Matthew 24:11, then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And we know that God's told us the false prophets are already running rampant on the land. We know that God has spoken and said the people will not walk in the truth. False prophets, you know, will tell you what you want to hear. They won't tell you the truth that's going on in your life. They'll tell you what you want to hear. So a false prophet, how can a false prophet do that? Because they're not of God. They're of the enemy. And the enemy knows what you want to hear. The enemy knows what you want to hear. And he will tell you that to lead you astray. First of all, we must understand what truth is. Truth is where our words and our deeds match and become one. Truth is where our words and our deeds match and become one. Jesus, of course, is a truth. He is the word who became the deed. He also lived the truth. His words, promises always matched his deeds and his life actions. You can act one way in here and go home and be like the devil. And this is what he's saying. Don't live like that. If you're going to be nice and kind here, then when you go home, you be nice and kind. All right? 3 John 1:8-8. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. He said, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you. The truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. In other words, what they preached, they walked. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well. Because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles, we therefore ought to receive such, that we may become fellow workers for the truth. Why does seeing his children walk in truth bring him so much joy? Think about that. John says this brings him joy because it shows that we are genuine and authentic Christians with our words and deeds matching. See that? There are no masks or facades. We are truly showing forth God's life in our actions, and thus the gospel can be passed on. Let's read that again. John says this brings him joy because it shows that we are genuine and authentic Christians with our words and deeds matching. There are no masks or facades. We are truly showing forth God's life in our actions, and thus the gospel can be passed on. People watch everything that you do, and they listen to everything that you say, and they're watching to see if you believe what you preach. They watch to see if you're living what you preach. The reason why you can't get converts into the house of God is because they see two different things in you. They hear what you're saying about the Father, but they see you not living what you're saying. I know walking in truth is God's will for every one of us. I know that. And I know God's heart is grieved as he sees this not occurring in the Christian body. God is trying to teach each one of us as Christians how to make the words of our mouth match and become one with our actions. When we say Jesus is the answer to all my problems, he is my life, I trust him in everything. In reality, is Jesus the answer to all of your problems? Is he really your life? Does your actions portray that you trust him in everything? Let's say that again. God is trying to teach each one of us as Christians how to make the words of our mouth match and become one with our actions. When we say, Jesus is the answer to all my problems, he is my life, I trust him in everything. Now, in reality, is Jesus the answer to all of your problems? Is he really your life? Does your actions portray that you trust him in everything? You know, a lot of Christians know that's not so. 1 John 3:18 says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but love in deed and truth. My little children, let us not love in word. You're just saying you love. Neither in tongue, but love in deed and in truth. You know, actions speak a thousand words, don't they? You can say, oh, I really do love you, and not mean one word of it. But you cannot never say that, but you can do things that speak the same thing. Amen? Living in truth. Our words are very easy. Anybody can say anything. If you have charisma, you can just talk the hair off of somebody's head. Our words are so very easy, but to act out those words in our lives is a completely different thing. Are you listening here? To act out those words in our lives is a completely different thing. God wants what we say and what we do to be one, so that we can be genuine representatives of him and we can live the truth. None of us should ever have a double standard. None of us should have faces that we put on when we come into the house of God. If people see you here one way, then whenever they see you on the street or when they see you in your home or wherever they see you, it should be the very same thing that you portray when you're in the house of God. I don't see that all the time. And we need to, you might think, well, nobody from the church is around so I can act the way I truly am. But you don't know who might have been sitting in the church that you don't know that might be watching you when you decide, well, I'm just going to be me. Amen? Come on. We need to be me 24 hours a day. If you ever watch somebody, they can just, you know that they're about as bad as they can be, but they can be so sweet and so charming, and butter would melt off their lips, and you think, and they can charm anybody or anything. That's an act that they put on, but in reality, they're mean, they're cruel, and there's no love in them. We've all run across people like that in our walk. If we are believers, God is saying here that He wants the supernatural life that He has already placed in our hearts, not just to remain in our hearts and be words only, but to be shown forth out in our lives. If we are believers, God is saying here that He wants the supernatural life that He has already placed in our hearts, not just to remain in our hearts and be words only, but to be shown forth out in our lives. He wants us to genuinely walk in His love and truth, not just talk about it. Why do you think God has me teaching the same subject sometimes over and over and over again? It's because the body of Christ has not yet gotten the picture, and He's trying to get that thing ingrained in your spirit so you will change and be what He wants you to be. Are you listening? So don't say, there we go again. Well, okay, there we go again. But there's something in you. If you said that, there's something in you that God still has to change. You have not yet gotten the total picture of what God is trying to do. Then others will see, all right, so if He wants us to genuinely walk in His love and truth, not just talk about it, then others will see God's life in us and want what we have. How many people want what you have? You'd be surprised how many people don't want what you have. All right? I know there's people in here I'd love to, I know they have a powerful prayer life, and I'd love to have that. And they just don't do it here and there. They do it all the time. I would love to have that. See, what is it? What are you showing forth? If you're the intercessor on Tuesdays, are you praying always? Do people see you praying? Do they see you walking out what you sit in here and say? Think about this. Remember, I told you a couple years ago, God, I was standing right there preaching, and God said to me, daughter, be careful that lest when you preach to others, you yourself will fall. Now, I might tell you live a holy life, but I might somewhere along the line slip and not become holy. Or I might be teaching you about love, and then all of a sudden Satan comes along and takes my love walk away, and I would slip and fall. So He's saying the same thing to each one of us in here tonight. Be careful when you're talking to others, lest you yourself fall. All right? John 13:30. So we've made a whole lot of mistakes in the past 10 years because Satan came in and he just ripped us apart. But I'm sorry, quit making excuses. You're not supposed to be making any more mistakes. You're supposed to be walking holy, walking in love, walking upright in all of your ways. And when people look at you, they should say, I want that. Come on. I want that. John 13:33. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. You can sit in the house of God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and if you don't have love one for another, you're not going to heaven. You might think you're all that, and then some of you say, boy, I really hate that person. You're not going to heaven. Come on. I'm just hearing God say, what you're doing in the dark, He's going to bring into the light. And He wants you to get rid of that stuff you're doing in the dark right now, and don't have Him embarrass you. You really don't want God to embarrass you. Believe me, you don't, because he will. He doesn't care who's around. He just tells on you. So some of you in here, you're doing something in the dark, and you better get rid of it, because God's soon going to reveal that dark side of you. Abundant life. John 10:10 tells us that the purpose of our being called as Christians is so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Then in the Bible, wasn't when you was called a Christian, it's because you were changed, right? Isn't that what it tells us? You were loving and you were kind. You were no longer one of these people that didn't care about anybody. You were loving and you were kind. You were different. And so therefore you were called a Christian. And that's why you could be killed so easily, because you stood out from the crowd, in the crowd, right? Whose life is John talking about here? Does he mean our own natural human life? Is this what we are supposed to live abundantly? I don't think so. Not our own human natural. It is not our own human love, wisdom, and power that God wants us to show forth, but his supernatural life. Come on. I'm going to tell each one of you in here, if you're truly walking with God, if you're truly anointed of God, people are not going to like you. They are not. So if you're looking for popularity, you don't want to walk with God. They're not going to get excited when they see you in their presence, because they're afraid that devil inside them is afraid that he's going to be revealed. Come on. So what are you looking for here? A complete surrender to God, or just tiptoeing through the tulips? God told me to tell you that. So there you go. You got that. When we say our natural life, our human life, or our self life, is that where I'm at? We mean our human thoughts, emotions, and desires that are usually contrary to God's. Let's say this again. When we say our natural life, our human life, or our self life, we mean our human thoughts, emotions, and desires that are usually contrary to God's, performed in our lives by our own human abilities. Sometimes this is called what? The flesh. The flesh is terrible, isn't it? It is hard to put down. It is hard to crucify. Originally, Adam and Eve had abundant life. Originally Adam had abundant life. He experienced God's supernatural life in and through him. But when he fell, God's supernatural love and wisdom became hid from the eyes of all living. Job 28:20-21. I wanted to write that down and I forgot. But anyhow, you can read that at home. Job 28:20-21. We need to understand that Jesus came expressly for the purpose of restoring that sight and that wholeness to all of us that Adam lost. When we ask Jesus to be our Savior and we become born again, God comes into our hearts and once again restores that supernatural life. Come on, God, when you became born again, if you truly became born again, then God restored that supernatural life. However, God doesn't want this supernatural life to remain in our hearts. He wants his abundant life to be shown forth out in our lives, our souls, so that all can see it and desire it. He wants us to be those open vessels, living his life, not just talking about his life. He wants us to be life imparters. You know, too many Christians are imparting death into others. He wants us to impart life into everyone that we meet. Are you listening to this? God cannot use you if you do not impart life into others' lives. He cannot. If you're constantly wanting somebody else to be crucified, you know, or whatever evil thing you can think against them, then you are not a life imparter. You are a death imparter. And we as children of God need to start imparting life. And I'm hearing God saying imparting wisdom and knowledge into everyone that we come across. He's saying you need to carry the glory of the Father wherever you go. And you won't have to think about what you're saying or what you have to do. The glory of God will just act for God. All right? The exchange life. We are to constantly relinquish our self-life to him. so that his life from our hearts can freely come forth into our souls. This is what Galatians 2:20 and also what Paul means in Philippians 1:21 when he says, "For me to live is Christ." If you're not treating your wife right, you're not Christ. If you're not treating your husband right, you're not following the love commandment. Come on. You know, here we are in the house of God. You know, we call ourselves pastors, assistant pastors, evangelists, bishops, or whatever you might title yourself, and you're not even doing what's right at home. What glory is God getting out of all that? You're not loving your wife. You're not loving your husband. You're fussing and fuming and fighting. You're not a good example to anybody when you do stuff like that. You're not. Come on. This is Christ's life through us. We are to moment by moment set aside our life so that God's life can come forth. Listen to that again. We are to moment by moment set aside our life, moment by moment, so that God's life can come forth. It is sometimes called the exchanged life. We give God our life. He gives us his. Now, you can't ask for a better deal than that. I can anyhow. Amen. Why do you sit here and hold on to your sin nature? You know, what God has to give you is so much greater than anything that Satan could ever offer you. And your sin nature is destroying the people around about you. You just don't take yourself down. You take all those around about you down with you. And if you're in the ministry, everybody's watching everything you do. They're watching everything you say. And if you're in the ministry and God's really using you, Satan always has a person that'll follow you around and tell everybody how rotten you are. They have a big neon sign, "This child of God isn't any good," you know. And people who want to think evil of you will believe that. You need to think about these things. Don't worry about that neon sign. Worry about the glory of God being on you. Amen. John 12:24 validates what I just said. I said, we give God our life. He gives us his. Most assuredly, I say to you, Jesus speaking, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. God wants your life totally and completely. Why are you afraid to give your life totally and completely to God? I'll tell you why. Because you still are a controlling, manipulating person, and you still want to control and manipulate your life and the things that go on around about you. And if you give yourself up to God, you're out of control. Because you said, "Here I am, you're in control of my life, I'm just a vessel, just start working through me." And whatever he wants to do, he does. But see, so many people are so prideful, so many Jezebel spirits, that they don't want to give up control of their life or their surroundings. And if they only stood back and could see yourself through another's eyes, you could see you're just making a total fool of yourself. Because you aren't in control of nothing. The enemy is manipulating you and using you like you wouldn't believe. So why not stop that? Why not surrender all? And just let him have total and complete control. This scripture we just read exhorts us to become emptied of self so that we can be filled with him. Now, being emptied of self does not mean becoming some sort of mindless robot or a non-entity with no personality of our own. Quite the contrary, when we surrender ourselves to God, he takes, number one, our own unique personality, number two, our own individual temperament, and three, our own makeup, and then fills it with his love, his thoughts, and his power. I've always told you, you're unique, you're different. He uses your personality. You can't be somebody else. You have to be you You have to be unique. You have to be different and don't want to preach or teach or dance or do whatever like somebody else does it. Let God use you the way you are. And if you're acting up, I'll tell you. Amen. But just let God use your personality. Amen. And if there's things in your personality that God will never use, He'll strip it out of you. He'll send you to a deliverance session and get all that junk out of you. You don't have to be afraid, I'm going to go out there and make a mess of things, because God won't allow you to do that. He's not going to allow you to give Him a black eye. He just is not going to do that. He told me one time, nobody's going to bring any more shame or disgrace on my church. You know, he gives you grace for a season. Then he says, okay, it's enough. That's enough. Now, if you do another thing wrong, you've had it. That's just the way he told me. He said, I'm done with it. So whatever you've been doing, you've had grace. Now the grace period has stopped and he expects you to straighten up, fly right, be a child of God. Be a child of God that others want to follow. All right? How are we able to do this? The next question becomes, okay, that sounds great. I want to live Christ's life. I want to live the truth. I want my words and my deeds to match. But how on earth do I do this? How am I emptied of self-life and filled with God's life? How does Christ become my very self itself? The answer is in Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This scripture tells us that a renewed mind is the key to our transformation. Why do you think God's been teaching about the mind lately? Why do you think God has taken us into great depths about the mind? This is the answer here. This scripture tells us that a renewed mind is the key to our transformation. You want to know why you can't get out of sin, why this and that and the other? It's because your mind has not yet been renewed. Oh, yes, it has. Oh, no, it hasn't. Just because you made that statement. Oh, no, it hasn't. See, there's that self-will, that's that pride, I'm all right now thing going on. Quit it. Let's just quit it. Let's be human beings living for Christ and admitting when we're wrong and go on and be everything that God's called us forth to do. Aren't you tired of fake Christians? You know, you watch the people on TV and you see all the things, you know, you really idolize them and all of a sudden all this junk is coming out, you know, and here all this person you were idolizing was putting on a face, but doing something different in the dark. What does that do to you? It should never make you leave Christ, but it makes you quit idolizing people. We're all human. We all make mistakes. If we were perfected, we'd be in heaven. All right? But that gives you no excuse to keep making mistakes. It's time we quit making mistakes. It's time we grow up and be a child of God so God can use us to draw all men unto Him. Transformation simply means an exchange of life. It means taking off self and putting on God. A renewed mind is the bridge or the link between our being emptied of self and being filled with God. Say that again. Transformation simply means an exchange of life. It means taking off self and putting on God. A renewed mind is the bridge or the link between our being emptied of self and being filled with God. In other words, it is a mechanism or this instrument by which Christ's supernatural life in our hearts can become our life in our souls. You're going to have to be renewed. Just all there is to it. If you're going to be the vessel of honor that God can work through, you can't skirt around it. You have to let God change you. You have to say to God, God, change me, rearrange, crush me, do whatever you got to do. Put me back on the potter's wheel. I don't care how many times you have to remake me, God, do it. until I am the vessel that you want to work through or can work through. There isn't a person in this room that didn't, one time or other didn't think you was just all that and then some. And then God. He came and he started, you know, pulling out the little flaws. Oh, I have that problem. Oh, I have that problem. Oh, I didn't know that was there. No, you didn't. But see, God wants to perfect us. And so when we was ready, then he started showing us the little flaws that we have. And he wants us to get rid of those flaws when he shows it. It isn't just so you can stick it behind a book somewhere. You have to go before God and say, all right, God, that's a flaw. It's not a you. Take it out of me. And if he doesn't take it right away, I'd be fighting the devil like crazy to get him out of me. Come on, because he can destroy you. Ephesians 4:22 explains what a renewed mind does. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and then be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So you had to put off all this corrupt old, you have to get rid of all the corrupt old man that did all the dumb things. And then you have to put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. If you're still going around flirting, then you haven't taken off the old man. That should be in the garbage can. If you're still going around drinking, that's the old man. I'm going to say it. If you're going around smoking, that's the old man. You still have not put on the new man yet. You still are not willing to give up the flesh. If you're overeating, that's the old man. You have to quit that. Whatever little sin that you might have, that's still the old man. You have to get rid of it in order to be the vessel of honor that God can work through. Come on. Well, I can't quit smoking. That's a lie. I know there's many of you in here that used to smoke and you quit smoking, right? I was going to show a video, and I will show it, but not tonight or today, but where these rock stars, you know, they were on drugs and women and drinking and everything else, and God took it from them just like that. And they're out in the malls winning souls and performing signs, wonders, and miracles. So what's wrong with you guys? They weren't even seeking God. I will show you. It was a 20-minute long video. I will show it to you. But they weren't even seeking God. You're all sitting here saying you're seeking God, but you're still the same old man. Something's amiss. You're not wanting to give up something. It could be you sit in the house of God and you heard the word and God dealt with you about something. You say, someday I'll give it up. And the someday came, and the someday came, and the someday came, and you never gave it up. And now here you are, you're bound with it, and you're going to have to fight. You know, this one rock star, I forgot how it went, but anyhow, he just opened up a Bible. He was high and drunk and all this, and all of a sudden the Bible just came totally alive to him, and he didn't drink or smoke or do drugs. He quit the rock band. He was head of the rock band. He just quit everything, went out and started witnessing for Christ. All right. Some of you might have had a deep conversion at one time, but over the years you've lost that deep conversion, and now you're more or less in that lane of where you might get in trouble. You need to hurry up real quickly and get back over to the good lane, the path that God has laid before your feet, before you're totally and completely lost and undone. I don't know about you, but I can't stand another day of the kingdom of darkness rolling over the church and affecting my family in negative ways. Can you? Aren't you tired of that? I can't stand seeing the body of Christ living a defeated life, just hanging on till he returns. I remember whenever I was younger, I'm just hanging on till Jesus comes, you know. God doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to be vibrant and alive. He wants us to, I'm just hearing him say, he wants us to be electrified. He wants us to be on fire for him so that we can charge other people and bring them into the kingdom of light. He does. If you're just hanging on, don't even bother going witnessing, because they're just hanging on too, right? You have to be secure in God. You have to be, your foundation has to be firm. It has to be like a solid rock. Come on. All right, I can't stand seeing the body of Christ living a defeated life, just hanging on till he returns. We must fight. How many of you know that just recently you've had to fight more than you've ever had to fight in your entire walk with God? I mean, it's just one battle after another, on your knees, crying out to God, rebuking the devil, you know, sending him to the pit or whatever you do. But it's fight, 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 fight. And you can no longer say, God, I'm just growing weary. You can't even utter those words at all. You just have to keep fighting. Because the minute you utter those words, God, I'm growing weary, you just open the door real wide and the devil's coming in stronger. You can never say those words and tell the devil, what you're telling the devil is, you're defeating me and I'm going under. Don't ever say those words. You're not defeated. You're not going under. You're going over. You're going over. Everybody wants revival, but revival has to start in you. And we start revival tomorrow for 2 weeks. But, you know, revival starts in you. Something in you has to click and has to come alive. And you have to become vibrant. And whenever you walk by somebody, the electricity in you should touch them and change their lives. Are you understanding this? The church has been on the sidelines too long and can't afford to stay there any longer. We must either get real or get out. That's where we're at. You either get real or get out. It is time to bring in the fullness of the kingdom, and this starts in our own heart. We must let Christ reign in every aspect of our life, not holding anything back. We must let Christ reign in every aspect of our life, not holding anything back. This is a war, and war is not for the weak. If he's called you, then you are a soldier. We sang the song Warrior. I had to sing that for a purpose. We need to understand that we are a warrior in the body of Christ. We're not some little wimp just sitting around. We are a warrior, and we are fighting with everything, all the weapons that God has given us. Are we winning? Yes, we're winning it. Well, it doesn't look like it. Yes, we are. Don't ever say it doesn't look like it, because every time you go to your knees and pray or fight against the devil, you weaken him. And eventually one day he's going to fall. We might even get a stone from a Goliath, right? I mean, from David, and hit Goliath in the middle of the eyes and forehead, wherever he was hit, and kill him. Amen. So I said, this is a war, and war is not for the weak. People at war are committed to the cause. People at war are committed to the cause and ready for battle at all cost. Now, see, that's one of the problems, too. We are not committed to the calling that God has upon our life. One day up, next day down. Next day down, next day up. You know what I'm saying? We're not committed to follow through with the fight. You fight real hard one day and the devil comes and beats you up. You say, oh, Lord, I'm not going to go in that ring again. You've got to keep going, and you have to keep going. You have to keep going until you win the battle. The battle doesn't go to the weak. The battle goes to the strong. You know, it really bothers me. I see men beat their wives up and come to the house. God, praise you, Jesus, whoopee. And, you know, I just like to smack you up alongside the head. You know, if you're such a great, powerful man of God, then why are you smacking your wife around? Come on. The only thing you can fight is a woman, because you think they're weak. Well, women are not weak. And men, you're not strong. It's a devil in you that's doing the fighting. I don't know why I've said that, but there it's out there. It's a devil inside of you using your vessel to destroy a child of God. All right, I said people at war are committed to the cause and ready for battle at all cost. It will take this attitude to see the sons of God manifest on this earth. We are called the sons of God in this dispensation. So it will take this attitude to see the sons of God manifest on this earth. If you have Jesus Christ in your life 100%, you're going to walk around being happy, aren't you? You're not going to walk around downtrodden. You're not going to walk around... You know, I don't care what the storm is in your life, you are not going to walk around looking defeated all the time. If you ever see me, I'm not defeated. I get angry. I get so mad at the devil, I could just smack him silly. I don't care if it is a human being with letting the devil work through him. I like to smack you because you yielded your body to the devil to try to destroy. Remember, you're not battling flesh and blood, but principalities. But sometimes, you know, flesh and blood really enjoys yielding their vessel over to the devil so they can do what they want to do, be mean. But we are not mean people. We are loving people, right? According to the word I read, we're loving people. We're commanded to love one another. In this body of Christ, do we really love one another? Do we really love one another? I'm not only talking about your husband and wife, but you love your brethren. And I don't mean lustful. I mean love. The agape love of Christ. Do we really pray that, you know, that they get the very best, that they even get more than what you get? You know, think about this. How about your enemies? Do you curse them or do you bless them? God said, pray for your enemies. Isn't that what he says? Bless those who curse you. What do? I hope he dies and goes to hell. You know, I'll never talk to that person again. Wouldn't it be a surprise if you went to heaven, there they stood? What are you going to do? Going to have to talk to that person again, aren't you? Come on. So why not just get all those attitudes out of us right now? Just get them out of you right now. Come on, guys. I know you've been abused. I know you've been hurt. I know you've been slandered. I know all that stuff. I've been there too, but it wasn't meant to destroy us. It was meant to build us up, to make us strong. You young kids that complain because you have to watch little Sarah and little Paul. You know what? How do you know that God isn't doing that to teach you to be a leader one day? There was 11 of us in our family. I was the second down the line, and I had to watch everybody. And if one of them did anything wrong, I got the spanking for it. But as I looked, and I never ever complained, never did, never went to any church school functions, wasn't allowed to go roller skating, and roller skating was a big thing those days. I had to stay home and babysit. Never went to the movies, had to stay home and babysit. But you know what? God was keeping me safe. He did not want me in the world because he was training me to be a leader. And I thank God I never complained because God knew he could use me. So what are you kids doing? You're complaining your eyeballs out, giving your mother and father a hard time. And really it's God you should let go and say, what do you think you're doing here? After all, I'm a teenager. I should have freedom. For do what? To go out in a bush? Come on, because that's what would end up the way things are out there today. You wouldn't keep yourself pure. If you keep yourself pure, you wouldn't be wanting freedom. Come on. You need to think about these things. Why are you complaining? I thought you loved the Lord. I thought you was praying and speaking in tongues. I thought you was reading your word. Why are you being slain in the spirit if you get up and complain? These are things you need to think about. I thought you came to the altar and gave your all to God, and next day I hear you complaining again. You didn't give nothing to God. You were hoping he would take something away. But God's saying, you give it to me and then I'll take it. See, you have to clean yourself up. In other words, you have to say, God, take this thing. I don't want this thing. That's what I mean by cleaning yourself up. And when you really, really mean it, he'll take it. Because God told me, a lot of people say, I don't want this thing, but they don't really mean that. So don't speak words. Let it come from your heart. Let it be the truth that you're bringing out of your mouth. Because God knows you. Amen. What's that song? It's not my brother nor my sister, but me, O Lord, is standing in the need of prayer. Well, you just don't know what so-and-so did to tear this person down. Well, you know what? Why are you tearing that person down? Yet think about this. Why aren't you praying for that person that tore that person down? I went there too. God said, what do you think you're doing? You're supposed to pray for those type of people, not talk about them. Be careful when you teach others that you yourself might, lest you yourself might fall. That's the category you step into when you do that. Do you really want God to transform your life today? Do you really want to let go of the old man so God can bring the new man into your being? Do you really want that? If you do, the altar's open. But don't come if you don't mean it. God is trying to transform our lives. He's trying to bring us into that new place in Him where He can trust us and He can use us to win the lost and the dying. When you get transformed, it means the old man goes away, the new man comes in. In other words, what God's asked you, do you really want me to take the old man from you this night? Do you really want to leave here a new person? Excuse me. Only you know your heart. Only you know yourself. And God's saying, as you guys are coming up, as you're surrendering yourself totally and completely to this altar this night, you are going to be radically changed. Your thinking is going to be totally and completely different.